That verse again, I'll read it in 1 Corinthians 11:26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus established this sacrament as an ongoing ritual in the church. And it's to bless us, and it's to comfort us during our earthly pilgrimage until he comes back. Until he comes back, this table reminds us of the message that we must share with the world. Holy Communion proclaims the whole drama of human salvation. And we say, really? I want to show you that it does because of what this verse says. Holy Communion is, first of all, a proclamation of our soul's hunger. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim Christ's words in John chapter 6. Here's what he says. I tell you the truth. He's telling us, verily, verily, in some translations, it's really, really true. Really, really important when he says this. I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Just as we need physical food from other life forms that are physical life forms in order to live, we also need to live and to grow from divine food, divine nurture, divine life. We get food from other life forms, but we get this food from divine life in Christ, his life. This meal is paralleled in the Old Testament with the Passover. Those two meals are they both proclaim something. And that proclamation is our need for deliverance. We need deliverance. And that's this old Jewish writing said this about the Passover. The Passover declared that the Lord passed over the houses of our fathers in Egypt. The bitter herbs showed forth that the Egyptians made the lives of our father bitter in Egypt. And the unleavened bread declared that they were redeemed. And all these things are called the Passover? No. To them, what they called them was the declaration, the showing forth. And that word showing forth is in many translations in the word proclaim. In this verse in Corinthians, to show forth his death until he comes. And this meal is repetitive, just like the Passover was, because divine life is not static. Divine life is dynamic, and it flows into us, and it's supposed to flow out of us in creative service. We have grace flowing in, and out of us must come ministry or service to others, giving. And that same grace can't stay bound up. A sluggish kind of a pooling of spiritual energy inevitably leads us into self-satisfaction and stagnation. We become stagnant like pools that have no way of letting the water out. They just become stagnant. Well, our soul is hungry, and it needs to feed upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we say that in our communion service. But it also proclaims the whole drama of human salvation. It starts by proclaiming the soul's spiritual hunger. We come to this meal because our souls are spiritually hungry. But it also, this meal becomes a proclamation of our soul's helper. Who is our soul's helper? It is Jesus. You proclaim the Lord's death. You. Who is that you there? Who is it talking about in this verse, you? Well, that's the foremost question to ask when you come to this table. Are you supposed to be coming to this table? And we have to say, who are you? Who are you? Someone who proclaims who Jesus really is? You know, some people proclaim, they proclaim his moral character. They even sometimes proclaim his mighty miracles and his marvelous teachings. but they fail to proclaim His cross and His resurrection, because that deals with them as sinners needing salvation. Who are you? Someone who merely recites the creed at this table? We do that. And we can fall into a pattern of just reciting it, going through the rote process of reciting this creed. But are we someone who personally trusts in the story that this table, the drama that this table is talking about, and that it proclaims to us? You know, it's like we're proclaiming something here. And who are you? Are you someone who prepares yourself to come to this table, to approach this table with a prepared heart? The original Book of Common Prayer, at least the one in England, the one that we sort of have come down to use, the original Book of Common Prayer said this. You might have remembered hearing this at some point. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, walking from henceforth in His holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. You remember those words? I've heard those words before. When we were in Canada at an Anglican church there. Rosemary and I used to attend. It was right next door to the school we were at. This verse, or this phrase of the verse, to proclaim the Lord's death. Proclaim. Who are we proclaiming this to? To whom do we proclaim the cross, His death? Who are we proclaiming that to? Well, we proclaim it when we have this meal. We proclaim it to our demonic enemies. And we have a lot of them. Satan, the leader. Our demonic enemies. Satan hates the dramatic replay of this meal. He hates it. It's something it shows again and again and again our faith in the cross. That's what is represented here on this table. The cross. And he doesn't like that, because it says in earlier in this same book, 1 Corinthians, it says, none of the rulers of this age, speaking about the spiritual rulers or spiritual powers of darkness, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done it if they knew what His death was going to accomplish. This makes the Holy Communion table a mighty, a powerful spiritual weapon. A weapon of spiritual warfare. You can use this table. I have never really done that. I think sometime we might include that. I have to do a little bit of a teaching on it. But we can actually include this table as a form of spiritual warfare in our lives. And maybe we'll go and do that at some point. I hope so. To whom do we proclaim this cross is being proclaimed? But to whom do we proclaim it? We proclaim it to lost humanity. Now, lost humanity may not be in this room right now, but there occasionally is. And it's too bad we have to close our doors, but they need to see this, what we're doing, and they know this is Communion Sunday. A lot of people saw me setting this up. They know it's Communion Sunday. They know what we're going to be doing here. And the world is a bread-eating world. It eats bread to survive. They consume the bread that's grown in the gardens and in the fields of the world, physical life. And what they really need is divine life. They need the bread of heaven. Jesus said this in John 6, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. To whom are we proclaiming this cross, His death? We're proclaiming it to ourselves. Ourselves who often are forgetful. We forget what we're about. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. There's a hymn, and I took just the chorus of the hymn here. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. This table expresses Calvary to us, because it has what happened on Calvary right here on the table, His body and blood shed for us. That's what it represents. You proclaim the Lord's death. This proclaiming of the Lord's death proclaims His cross for us as the reason for His incarnation. It was the reason for His incarnation. God's Son became one of us so that He could die in our place and be raised to life. You know, Christmas came so that Easter could come. You know, they're really tied together by the incarnation. This table proclaims the cross as the power behind the gospel. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 18. A lot of this comes out of 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Christ's cross powerfully defeated our death, our sin and our death that was brought about by our sin. And then, again, this table proclaims, I'm going to use a French word, our raison d'être. Have you ever heard that? Raison d'être, but it means reason of being. It's one of those intellectual things that the academic people use in philosophy. Raison d'être. Why are you existing? What is your reason of being? You know, it's just a philosophical word, but it's powerful because His bride, the church, His bride, why does it exist? Why does it exist? It exists because His cross paid our ticket out of an old way of life, out of an old, empty, or impoverished way of life. 1 Peter says this, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Why does this proclaim the cross? This cross, why are we making this proclamation? It's a proclamation. This table is announcing the cross again and again and again. Why? It's because the church has a mission. The church has a mission. It's to promote spiritual cuisine. Yeah. The church is to promote spiritual cuisine. This isn't a restaurant, but you know what? We need to advertise anyway. Because there's great spiritual cuisine here. You know? We need to be helping sinners to change their diet because it's killing them. It is. Sin produces death. We need to be showing people where they can get a decent meal. You know, they've been feeding at Lucifer's greasy spoon long enough, right? Mm-hmm. My dad used to say that. Where are we going to eat, Dad? I think we'll go down to the greasy spoon. I said, oh, Dad, no. Of course, he said that because it was a joke for him. But, you know, people are eating that way, maybe physically too, but they're eating and they're not satisfying their heart. They're not satisfying their soul, which comes from the Word of God. That satisfaction. We need to be teaching people the habit of good table manners. Holy table manners. Because this is a holy table. And they need to embrace Christ and make this table a way of life. Just as we do. We need to make this table a way of life for us. Holy Communion proclaims the entire drama of human salvation. Romans 3 says this, "Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness." So whenever we meet together and take this meal, we are partnering with God. We are partnering with Him to demonstrate, to publicly display His strategy in human redemption. His strategy was death and resurrection of Christ. But we also make a proclamation, and this is our last point, a proclamation of our soul's hope. And that hope is Christ's return. Until He comes is the the last word of this verse. Until he comes, this table proclaims our faith in a living Savior. We feed not only on Christ's death here on the table, but on his resurrected life. And that was made available through the cross. John 6:51, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Until he comes, this table proclaims to Satan his inability to stop us. You know, in some lands, there are brothers and sisters who meet and they gather together at the risk of their lives to observe this table and gain the spiritual energy that they need to go on by their fellowship and this meal and the faith in it that they have. We need to pray for them, and we need to remember them when it's hard for us, we think, to maybe share the gospel with our friends and neighbors because I'm a little bit embarrassed. These people are risking their lives to do that. Until he comes, this table proclaims the victorious second advent, when Jesus, our Savior, will reign forever and ever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then, we who faithfully ate at this table again and again in this temporal, this temporary life, we who ate here at this table will feast at another table in that day. Matthew 26 says, Jesus told us, he said, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. We're going to have this meal with Jesus. And it'll be a different kind of a meal. This earthly table proclaims our betrothal. There are some people who say that the cross was the marriage bed of Christ. He laid his life down for his bride totally. And that this table represents, as a meal, a celebration of the celebration we're going to have at the wedding feast. It foreshadows our place as it at his heavenly table, celebrating his victory, but also enjoying our eternal marriage to him. Revelation chapter 19 says this, Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. How do we proclaim to the world our anticipation of that day, that wedding day, our wedding day? How do we proclaim to the world that this is what we are waiting for at this meal? This is what we're celebrating. We're waiting for that return of our Lord when he comes again. Well, until he comes, Jesus said, do this by eating this bread and taking this cup until he comes. In the 1800s, a preacher, Reverend Joseph R. Thompson, finished a sermon on the ancient rite of Holy Communion. And he finished it with the following poetic lines. And these lines summarize our unity with the whole church, past and present, through our common celebration of this table. Here's what he says. And thus, that dark betrayal night, with the last advent we unite by one bright chain of loving rite, R-I-T-E, rite, ritual, communion table, until he comes. Until he comes. I'm going to read the verse one more time. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Father God, we stand in awe of what you have done and what you have provided for us. Because we can sing songs of praise, like the Psalms are filled with songs of praise. We could even celebrate the Jewish Passover, but it's not quite what you have done for us in this table. Because the Passover was just a shadow. It was just a proclamation of a foreshadowing of what would come, another table where the life of God would be poured out for us and we could partake of that life again and again by faith and be strengthened for our ongoing journey until you come back. I thank you, Lord, for this meal. I pray that this message and the import of this meal, this table, might remain with us always whenever we approach it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.